You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, all-powerful, omnipotent, everywhere at the same time, omnipresent, all-knowledgeable, omniscient. Please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is make the most of each day. My scripture is the 90th Psalms. My text is Psalms 90, 10, 11, and 12, which states, the days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet in is their strength, labor, and sorrow. And it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Psalms 90 is supposed to have been penned as late as captivity in Babylon. That, it is plain, was penned as early as the deliverance out of Egypt. This Psalms was penned by Moses, the most ancient penman of sacred writings, and it is called a prayer. It is supposed that this Psalm was penned upon occasion of the sentence passed upon Israel in the wilderness for their unbelief, murmuring, and rebellion, that their carcasses should fall in the wilderness, that they should be wasted away by a series of miseries for 38 years together. And the most of them that were then of age should enter Canaan. The story of which this psalm seems to refer is the 14th chapter of Numbers. Probably Moses penned this prayer to be daily used, either by the people in their tents or at least by the priests in the tabernacle service during their tedious fatigue in the wilderness. Moses comforts himself and his people with the eternity of God and their interest in him. He humbles himself and his people with the consideration of the frailty of man. He submits himself and his people to the religious sentence of God passed upon them. He commits himself and his people to God by prayer for divine mercy and grace, and the return of God's favor. Though it seems to have been penned upon this particular occasion, yet it is very applicable to the frailty of human life in general, and we can easily apply it to the years of our passage through the wilderness of this world. In verse 1 of Psalms 90, God is introduced as both a refuge and the creator. The time of God is also brought into the picture. His time is eternal, from everlasting to everlasting. In contrast, the frailty of man shows he will be destroyed, giving reverence to inevitable death. The favor and protection of God are the only true rest and comfort of the soul in this evil world. Christ Jesus is the refuge and dwelling place to which we may repair. We are dying creatures. All our comforts in the world are dying comforts. But God is an ever-living God, and believers find him so. When God, by sickness or other afflictions, turns men to destruction, he therefore calls men to return unto him, to repent of their sins, and live a new life. 1,000 years are nothing to God's eternity. Between a minute and a million of years, there is some proportion. Between time and eternity, there is none. And the events of 1,000 years, whether past or to come, are more present to the eternal mind than that was done in the last hour is to us. And in the resurrection, the body and soul shall return, both return and be united again. Time passes unobserved by us, as with men asleep. And when it is past, it is as nothing. It is a short and quickly passing life, as the waters of a flood. Man does not flourish as the grass, which, when the winter of old age comes, will wither. But he may be mown down by disease or disaster. Man's life is fleeting. Man does but flourish as the grass. In contrast to God's eternity, human life, even the longest imaginable, 1,000 years, is insignificantly brief, as expressed in the images of a watch in the night, a flood, a dream, and grass. The afflictions of the saints often come from God's love, but the rebukes of sinners and of believers for their sins must be seen coming from the displeasure of God. Secret sins are known to God and shall be reckoned for. See the folly of those who go about to cover their sins, for they cannot do so. Our years, when gone, can no more be recalled than the words that we have spoken. With Father's Day drawing near, the Bible teaches in Ephesians 6:4, which states, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And ye fathers, do not provoke your children to the wrong, to wrath, which is strong, vengeful anger. Though God has given you power, you must not abuse that power, remembering that your children are, in a particular manner, pieces of yourselves, and therefore ought to be governed with great tenderness and love. Be not impatient with them. Use no unreasonable severities and lay no rigid injunctions upon them. When you caution them, when you counsel them, when you reprove them, do it in such a manner as not to provoke them to wrath. In all such cases, deal prudently and wisely with them, endeavoring to convince their judgments and to work upon their reason. Bring them up well in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, in the discipline of proper and of compassionate correction, and in the knowledge of that duty which God requires of them, and by which they may become better acquainted with him. Give them a good education. It is the great duty of parents to be careful in the education of their children. Not only bring them up as the brutes do, taking care to provide for them, but bring them up in nurture and admonition in such a manner as is suitable to their reasonable natures. No, not only bring them up as men in nurture and admonition, but as Christians in the admonition of the Lord. Let them have a religious education. Instruct them to fear sinning and inform them of and excite them to the whole of their duty towards God. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church which is based on the Holy Bible. Jesus was crucified on the cross for our sins. While on the cross, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But after 3 days, he arose from the dead with all powers in his hands. Because he loves us so, let us be obedient to his word. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good day and welcome to The Encourager, where we recognize that attitude impacts altitude, preparation precedes elevation, and faith conquers fear. For we know that when God is in it, there is no limit. Today's topic is the greatest man in history. The greatest man in history, Jesus. He had no servants, yet they called him master. He had no degree, yet they called him teacher. He had no medicines, yet they called him healer. He had no army, yet kings feared him. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the world. He did not live in a castle, yet they called him Lord. He ruled no nations, yet they called him King. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, yet he lives today. His kingdom is not of this world, yet it lies within the hearts of those who believe. He spoke of love and forgiveness, and his words have transformed millions. He offers no material wealth, yet we consider him the treasure of our lives. He promises no earthly power, yet in his name the powerless have found strength. Though he left no written words, his message has filled countless pages. In his weakness, we find our strength. In his suffering, our salvation. Jesus, the greatest man in history, continues to invite us into a story of redemption, love, and eternal life. His name is Jesus Christ. Shalom.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, The Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves?